we get thunderstorms in the Midwest, sometimes these big, massive thunderstorms, and they're really something else. If you've never experienced a big Midwest thunderstorm, they're pretty amazing. They can be quite destructive too, as you probably hear in the spring. You hear about tornadoes and some of the destructive forces that accompany these thunderstorms, but they can be quite an event to experience if you haven't done it before, or if you haven't been through one of these Midwest thunderstorms before. And that's kind of what I was trying to capture in this photo. A little bit of background. When I took this photo, I was driving to Minnesota by myself, and when I drive by myself, I like to get out and stop and just move around a lot, because it's a long – these car rides can be quite long and boring if there's no one else to talk to. I saw these thunderclouds forming ahead of me on Interstate 35, and I wanted to pull off and get a photo. And there's a couple issues to take into account here. First, you got to find a place to get off the interstate. You can't just pull off on the side of the interstate. It's too dangerous. Cars are moving at 70 miles an hour, and if you're there with a tripod or whatever trying to point a camera – You're asking for trouble. So you have to find an exit. And then once you find an exit, you have to find a way to get the shot, because there's not always these ready-made photo locations. So I had to get off the interstate and drive a little ways on a couple different gravel roads until I found one with a little bit of a hill that I thought might work well for taking a photo. There were some other obstacles as well, such as how to frame the photo, what to include in the foreground and background, how high up to hold the camera to get the photo with the thunderclouds as well as the corn. Do I even want the cornfields in the camera or in the photo? There's a lot of other things to consider. And you're kind of at the mercy of your surroundings here, because when I say you, I mean me taking this photo, but you, anyone in this type of situation, you can only do so much. You can only move so much, and everything is moving around you. These clouds are building up here, so you can't just spend all day driving around trying to take a photo. You have to work with what you're given with the existing structures. And in this case, there were these barns. I don't know what was in those barns, but you have to work around these different objects and obstacles. It's kind of nice, though, that the focal length was one thing I couldn't control, because it was one less thing, one less variable in the equation. And if you have a zooming lens, then you can adjust the focal length. And that's good for a variety of situations. But when you're working with a fixed focal length lens, it's a limitation that is, in a way, kind of comforting, knowing that you can control a lot. But one thing that you have no say in is the focal length of your lens. And it's kind of nice. It was kind of nice taking this photo, because there was so much else going on. I didn't have to worry about zooming in or out. I snapped a few pictures. I drove around a bit, snapped a few more, and then I had to get back on the road because I couldn't spend all afternoon taking photos. This picture required a lot of post-processing, though, and that's one of the benefits of RAW. There's so much data recorded that is otherwise thrown out. Originally, the sky was all blown out, and I had to bring it way down. It was, if you looked at the original RAW file, you would just see a mass of gray and maybe a few clouds, which was not really what I saw when I was standing here. But because of the way cameras record data on film, they don't have the same dynamic range as our eyes do. Our eyes can see a huge variety of brightness to darkness. Cameras can't. That's why we have to combine exposures to get HDR photography and things like that. But anyway, there's so much data recorded in the RAW file that you can recover a lot of it to get the shot you want, or to get the shot to look the way you want in post-production. And you can use Photoshop, Lightroom, Aperture. I use Aperture. I'm getting way off track here, though, so I'm going to go back to the photo. If you look above the trees on the left, there's that little cluster of trees. You'll see where I didn't adjust properly. It's got this blue haze. That's my fault. I had to burn a lot of this, which means you darken it. Burn and dodge mean darken and lighten. And I had to do a lot of darkening in this photo once I had things adjusted the way I want. And I didn't quite nail it on that part. And I should go back, but I probably won't, because I don't like dwelling on things from 6 months ago. I like to just move on. I probably spent a little too much time editing this in post, and it almost looks a little over-processed, and I don't like that. I like it to look the way I saw it on any given photo when I took the photo, but I don't like it to look hyper real or surreal. And I think this is maybe borderline on a little too much post-processing. So this, I guess it's an okay photo, but mostly it's a lesson in what not to do when you're doing some post-processing work. What you don't see here is this thunderstorm barreling down on me shortly after the sun went down. And I hadn't changed the wipers on my car, and so they weren't really working that well. And it was not a fun time to drive through this storm at night when I'm 800 miles away from home. I made it through safe and sound, thank God, and I've got some good pictures as a result. So all in all, it worked out well, but just some things to consider if you're ever out trying to take photographs of nature and thunderstorms.